children.
It's all for you!
We have such sights to show you.
We'll see how it works out.
But. Anyway, you ready to get started, Anthony?
I'm there. Yeah, it's now or never, really.
Really? Otherwise, this will just be...
It's later than normal.
So this is going to be a clusterfuck of epic proportions for multiple reasons. One, happy 420.
Yay!
Two, we're recording late. Three, we're recording caffeinated.
Yeah, and...
Caffeinated high, and...
With one drink...
Yeah, he's drinking, I'm just caffeinated, but I never, like, my cutoff is normally 3 p.m., and it's 8.
Oh, wow, it's going to be fun tomorrow, isn't it?
So it's going to be a good time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, all right.
So welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
Hey.
That was so soft-spoken in comparison to...
That was my 8:09 voice right there. Hey.
In comparison to me, who's just like, what the... fuck is up, guys? Oh, yeah, man.
I feel like your latent T-Mobile anger is kind of... That's exactly right now. I've been listening to jazz in the fucking... just outside your place in my car by myself as the sun went down.
And I was sitting there just leaning against the counter. Like, I was just like, I will murder all of
you're
you.
You're like, why am I here twice as long as I thought I was? Why am I here twice as long as
why
I thought
I
was?
Why am I here twice? Anyway.
You got a dope phone from
it's
it,
okay.
though. It's
okay. I have a brand new phone. Yeah. The nicest iPhone available because I deserve it.
There you go. See, and I recently, just in the last 2 hours I was waiting, had the best sushi.
Yeah.
And the worst Best Buy.
The worst,
nastiest, shittiest Best Buy, full of just... really, people who probably couldn't buy any of the products. It's horrible.
And human excrement.
Oh, yeah. Lots of that in the restroom. That was partially out of order. They should have just put the whole thing out of order.
Gonna chill on the weed.
I'm now more energetic, too, because I think your T-Mobile anger and my Best Buy anger together are channeling together.
They link forces and just become anger.
They did. But again, sunset, jazz, and a little weed, and I was great.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, you guys have seen the title. It's 420. We've been promising this for a while. We're covering Idle Hands from 1999.
Yeah. And this one, what does IMDb say about Idle Hands from 1999?
Oh, man. A teenage slacker's right hand becomes possessed with murderous intent.
I love it. Actually, that's very succinct.
It's to the point.
And kind of perfect. Yeah.
Oh, what a movie. This is, oh, man.
It's a weird one.
What a fucking movie. One. I'm so glad we're covering this. Mm-hmm. This is so...
On a special day. I mean, what other movie could we possibly cover? I mean, we probably could cover this in Halloween also. But no, I think it's more a stoner movie than it is a Halloween movie.
Yeah. Well, it does happen around Halloween.
Mm-hmm. And it has that October look. It really does.
It does. Well, there's a very particular reason for that.
Yeah.
And we'll get into it. But...
And then also, remember, in our hearts, all these months are October anyway, so we can cover this whenever we want.
Every day is Halloween, if you just believe.
Yeah, we do. Hard.
The first time I went to T-Mobile, one of the other patrons there, we were talking about, I don't know, I shoehorn this podcast into anything I can. And I was just like, yeah, I have Halloween decorations up year-round, because I do.
Yeah.
And, the lady looked at me like I was a crazy person, even though we were just talking about Nightmare Before Christmas and how much he loves Nightmare Before Christmas. Yeah. And I was just like, yeah, whatever. It's home decor.
My choice. All right.
Yeah. My apartment. I pay rent. You don't.
So you probably sleep in Disney sheets, don't you?
We can't piss off the Disney nerds. Well, although we probably can, because they're probably not paying attention, because Disneyland at this point has been open for a couple days.
So. Oh, has it?
By the time this episode comes out, yeah.
Oh, shit. I wonder how that's going to go.
I'm sure the world will be on fire enough to tell us.
It's pretty on fire right now, right? I mean... But see, that's the great thing about doing the podcast, too. We can say a general statement like that. It's going to apply to many months.
Oh,
you can listen to this shit, I'm sure, sometime next year. Yeah, sometime next year.
420 next year.
Yeah, what riot's going to happen that time? We'll see. We might have collected a few of them. Huh?
Jesus.
But for a riot of laughter, we got this movie. So
for a riot of laughter? Are you fucking kidding me? I'm going to channel my murderous rage towards you. Christ almighty.
See? In my rage, it channeled itself into a button push. That's what it was going for right there.
Button push. Consider it. Anyway, this is directed by Rodman Flender.
It's gonna be terrible. Yes.
Produced by Andrew Lich, Jeffrey A. Mueller, Jennifer Todd, and Suzanne Todd. So many people produced this movie. And it was written by Terry Hughes and Ron Milbauer.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Those are names? Cool.
Those are certainly names.
You could have told me Terry Milbauer and Hughes Ron, and I still would have been like, eh.
Rodman Flender, the only thing I could really find of note about him as a director, he did The Unborn, which was one of the first horror movies I really wanted to see, but my mom was just like, no, you can't.
Oh my gosh, I made fun of that trailer so much.
Yeah, because I was super young and it looked good, but then I watched it, I don't know, I think 5 years later, and I was just like, wow, this is stupid.
And I was in prime edgelord stage, so I was just
so
like,
you were just like, shitting on all of it. Everything. Yep. He also directed Leprechaun 2.
That's a good one. No, wait. That's not the Vegas one. No, it's okay.
Yeah. It's a site that focuses on him hunting for a bride.
Yep. No, that's not as good. No.
And then he's also working on HBO's Tales from the Crypt. So, you know,
okay.
He has some cred now. His other claim to fame is the uncle to Academy Award nominated actor Timothy Chalamet.
Okay. Different approaches they both took to breaking into Hollywood.
To Hollywood, yeah, for sure.
Respect. We got this movie.
Anyway, back to Idle Hands. So this movie came out on April 30th, 1999. As of next week, that is the 22nd anniversary of this movie.
Oh my Jesus.
Yeah, 10 days from the release of this episode.
Oh, fuck. That's so weird.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I was... Yeah, time sucks. Okay.
Its budget was $25 million.
Dang.
Its box office earnings, $4.2 million.
Oh, that's so bad.
Yeah, it was a capital F flop.
Why is this so... Okay. Man. I know so many people who know this movie. This is weird.
Yeah, I think it eventually turned into something culty and fun. Yeah, yeah.
That return usually means something culty and fun. You're right. Because, holy shit, that is... Oh, no one we don't recognize these names.
Yeah.
Also, we totally skipped the cast.
Oh, no.
We're a little stoned, guys.
I'm going to put that down.
We're a little stoned.
Put that down.
You just jump straight to it. You're like, numbers.
That's all I know.
You came back from work, you're in stats mode. You're right? Like, no.
Yeah.
Seriously, we got to do a change of direction here.
Cast. Devin Sawa is Anton Tobias. Jesus Christ. Seth Green.
Anton Tobias.
Yeah.
He said Anton.
Anton. Anton.
Anton.
Oh, sorry, Anthony. I'm sure you took that very personally.
I always thought his name was so cool when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. Because you wanted to be like...
I'm just a regular Anthony.
Yeah.
I'm not an Anton.
I mean, you're like real close to being an Antoine. Yeah, if you were French.
My sister called me.
Aww. Yeah.
But Devin Sawa was the boy. That's one of our
boys. It's true.
Yeah.
And he is like so young in this.
Oh, dude. He's tiny.
He is itty bitty.
Mm-hmm. He's got that skinny little fucking like early actor neck.
Well, also like firm.
Just scrawny little weird guy.
Like, very like childhood actor. Anyway, Seth Green as Mick.
Also one of the boys.
Seth Green. Yes, absolutely. This is 1999. So this is either right before or during his stint on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
How long was he on Buffy the Vampire Slayer? He wasn't for the duration?
No, not the entire thing. He was only on it for a couple seasons. And then after that, I mean, he was never, I think he was only principal cast or like main cast for seasons, I want to say two or part of two.
Mm-hmm.
He joined in two and then, three
mm-hmm.
and then part of four.
I mean, that's also during the Austin Powers upcoming Robot Chicken era. So, you know, he was a busy guy.
Someone's going to correct me on that, but...
That's okay.
And then Eldon Henson is Nub.
Such a weird name for this character, I guess.
Well, Eldon Henson is just a very awesome actor. I don't know.
What has he been in? What else?
He has been in... So, okay, The Mighty Ducks.
He was in the Mighty Ducks. Wow.
The recognition.
Just bring it back.
So he was in the Mighty Ducks. If you watch the Daredevil Netflix
series, yes, he's that fucker also.
Yes, he's Foggy.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Those are the big two things I recognized him from.
Interesting. Oh, he's a little guy in this one.
Yeah.
Huh.
He was also in Hunger Games Mockingjay, but like, who cares?
Was that the second one?
I don't know.
I only like the second one.
Jesus Christ. Let's see. Filmography. Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's anything else. Yeah, he was in Mighty Ducks. D2, the Mighty Ducks. D3, the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, I rode that train.
Okay. that was all before Idle Hands.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And then, he was in The Butterfly Effect. I do remember him being in The Butterfly Effect. I
can't remember in The Butterfly Effect.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, he had a ride.
Okay. He was in Lords of Dogtown.
That's a great movie.
Deja Vu.
Okay, we gotta keep going. We gotta stop.
I could keep going.
No, yeah, he's a good guy. I agree.
He's a good guy.
He might qualify as one of the boys. He might.
One of
the boys.
Anyway. No, I personally think he's great because I learned of him as a person. Not necessarily the Mighty Ducks because, like, you know. But from Daredevil, I was just like, you're cool.
Okay, interesting. Yeah.
And then, of course, Miss Jessica Alba.
Jessica Alba, a 17-year-old Jessica Alba.
She's 17 years old.
In this movie.
Nuh-uh. Yeah. I mean, thank Christ, because...
They just pushed it as far as they could.
Devon Sawa is, like, also...
Yeah.
Super young in this.
Yeah. They're both... It's a teenage romance movie.
Right, but sure. I'm saying I'm glad he wasn't, like, I don't know, 27?
Yeah,
you
right?
You know what I mean? Because, like... Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Jessica Alba as Molly. Her character's so funny.
It's... Oh, character, huh?
Loosely.
Her device.
Right?
It's... Wow.
Okay. We'll get there.
We're getting there.
Vivica A. Fox is Debbie LeClure. LeClure.
Oh my gosh.
It's LeClure.
Fucking Kill Bill. What was her name in that one? Was it Copperhead?
Oh, God. Yeah. It's a snake.
Oh, she was great.
Yeah.
Like, she plays badass very well, even though she gets her ass kicked throughout the entire movie.
I mean, yes. I think she definitely is, like, supposed to overplay it, but...
She does that so well.
Such a funny way.
She does it in a very Vivica A. Fox fucking just...
Yes, definitely.
Oh, did you find her snake name? I know you're looking for
it. Did you find her snake name? Well, it's funny, because it turns out by the looks of it, she was actually in Idle Hands before she was in Kill Bill.
Yeah.
And it's Copperhead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is Copperhead.
Yeah, you were
okay,
right.
Good. It was Copperhead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like there's a 4-year difference.
Yeah. 90, yeah.
It's like 2003.
And also, fresh off of Independence Day.
That's right. That's right.
Another favorite of the Horrible People's podcast.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. No, she earned her spot there. Yeah. Vivica A. Fox.
Yeah. Also Batman and Robin.
She's in Batman and Robin?
Apparently so. According to her IMDb.
I don't know. We're getting too into this now.
And then, of course, Jack Noseworthy as Randy, and I recognize him immediately because he, you know, him from our, You know what movie I'm talking
about. I don't know. I don't even...
Event Horizon. Fuck Almighty. Yeah.
Which one was he in Event Horizon?
He's the one who's he's in the airlock.
Oh, that, the little fucking kid? Oh my, he grew up a lot in the 3 years.
Yeah, remember this is the reason that we started talking about doing Idle Hands as the 420 movie, because he was in it, and we brought it up, and he was like, oh, he was in Idle Hands, and then you guys were like, oh my God, he is,
that's right.
And then you were just like, we have to
cover
it.
I'm going to do this my whole life and never remember him being in Idle Hands, and every time I remember, or in Event Horizon also, I'm not going to be able to make
that
because
he plays very different characters. He actually acts in this movie, which is weird.
Yeah, he's very funny in this movie.
Yeah, he's so stupid.
Alright, well, we made it through the cast. I think it's production trivia time, shall we?
Yes, there is next to nothing about the production of this movie. I'm very sorry, Anthony. You have next to nothing.
We still have so much to work with. It is, look how long that cast took. See, we got this.
15 minutes.
We got this. Anyways, let's learn a little bit about Idle Hands. Rodman Flender took over as director after two other directors dropped out of this film.
I just keep reading it as Flanders. And I'm trying to imagine Flanders directing a movie, and I don't think it would be Idle Hands.
I can't even do an impression right now. I'm too high for that shit. Okay. Yeah. No, because that would be great. I would love that.
Flanders' version of Idle Hands.
I think he would actually go in with the best intention, but the producers would bully him into just like, maybe you can make it a little more stoner. He's like, well, if he finds his way to God at the end, I can kind of see how we can use the scene where her clothes get ripped off.
We need more titties, Flanders.
I just never give him the ending. Like, oh, it's perfect. I love this part. Idle Hands was also filmed in the same Pasadena neighborhood as Halloween from 1978. You can see it.
Yes.
You can totally see it.
I don't know what it is about Pasadena, man, but it captures that suburban weird, like that suburban town feel.
It does.
Well.
It's a pretty cool place. I gotta admit.
If anyone wants to move to Southern California that is directly adjacent to LA, move to but doesn't want to like feel like you live in the middle of a fucking city, move to Pasadena.
Yeah, you do not get the city feel almost at all. The only thing is the jobs are obviously in the city, so you have to deal with that little route. But, you know, it's really comfortable. You can park places. That's amazing to me.
Every time you go to Pasadena, you're like, dude, you can park there. And I'm like, I mean, I live in Orange County. I can't.
I know you can park it. I know. But I'm never in Orange County when I go to Pasadena, though.
You're here every week.
That's good, but... Aside from the podcast, I love that I have a route over here, though.
You do. Yeah. You're like, I'm going to hit up sushi. I'm going to hit up Target. I'm going to hit up here.
Mm-hmm. Do I need to run errands right now? I'll run errands. And then we're going to record the shit. Oh, it's perfect. Anyways.
420 episode.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, Devon Sawa's character is named after Anton LaVey, founder of the Church of Satan.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Which is also... Okay. It's not in the play-by-play, so I can talk about this now. Can we talk about how misleading the opening sequence is for this stupid movie?
Where it's a little more horror-y than...
Yeah, where it's all, like, flesh and blood and pentagrams and stupid shit. And I was just like...
It's very dark for what the movie actually is.
Because I was also stony baloney watching this fucking movie. So I was just like, is this movie going to be way scarier than I was anticipating?
No.
And then, like, he opened his mouth, and I was just like, no.
You know what, though? Like,
And then I matched them hit for hit.
I think it matches a little bit of the look and the graphic violence of this movie is still pretty, like, hard-hitting.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like a Halloween-y dark movie, but it's for comedy.
It is until bodies start being reanimated.
Well, it's played for laughs. That's the thing. Like, you give this, like, weird horror cinematography for, like, Seth Green to be like, I'm Leatherface! Like a little weird shit like that.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have...
I love this movie.
Right? And that super graphic violence. But yeah, the opening kind of fits that.
Eyes and like literally the dog is playing with like an eyeball on the floor.
There's a bloody knife going into mayonnaise in this movie.
Ugh.
It's weird. It's fucking weird.
Yeah, because again, we're like, this is like a stupid stoner teenager who is just like not paying attention and is making a bologna sandwich, which is in his mind bread, mayo, bologna, mayo, bread.
Oh, he's like on stoner autopilot.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's disgusting. Yeah, it reminds me of every fucking stoner I went to high school with.
Oh my, yeah, that's what he is. He plays it well. Our boy Devon Sawa, one of the boys.
Yeah, truly.
Okay, so when Anton when Anton drives the truck to the dance, it's actually a stunt double driving because Devon Sawa did not have a license at the time. Switch happens as the camera pans left. That is amazing.
Isn't that funny as shit?
They're so tiny in this movie. It's so weird.
Well, also, they're babies.
They're babies. They're fucking babies.
Mm. Oh my gosh. I don't even know how old Seth Green was in this. He had to have been...
I think he's a little older than the rest of them now.
Yeah, he had...
Because he was doing it in, like, 1990.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, if he was, like, let's say 10... That would make him
19.
So yeah, he'd only be a couple years older.
Yeah, that's true.
Within a reasonable age.
Right, yeah, he can play his character good. he played character good.
he did acting correct good-ish.
He acts well. So, not acting well. Acting okay. Jessica Alba's first horror film, this movie is, Yoda'd that one, even though it's a horror comedy.
Yeah. Again.
I got through the one sentence there, didn't I?
It was a sentence, certainly.
Wow, 17. That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's so young in this.
She's very sexualized in the movie, too.
Well, yeah. And I feel like a little weird.
Me too. But you know, I watched it before I was 17, so to me that was like...
Well, no, I was just like, she's beautiful! And then I'm just like, why is she taking her clothes off?
Oh, this movie. So in September 2007, Seth Green told the Onion's AV Club about the experience of filming Idle Hands. Quote, "The best thing about that movie was that everybody working on it had a different mission statement. We all thought we were making a different movie. Me and the boys, the other actors, Devin and Eldon, we were convinced we were making a high drama with some comedic elements. And we tried to make our relationship as lifelong best friends believable. The director, Rodman Fletcher, was a
Flender.
Flender, whatever.
Like Blender.
Oh, that's a good way of remembering. Okay, I'll remember that. Was attempting to make a throwback Italian horror film, like a Dario Argentino flick. Oh, that would have been... that. You can see that. Okay. The writers really wanted it to be a Heathers. And the studio was listening to the test marketing and saying that they really wanted zombies to be cuter and have more wacky antics. And apparently all the kids in the audience thought that there should be more pot smoking. That pot should save the day, and somewhere, somehow, Jessica Alba needed to get her top ripped off. And that's how the whole new ending got shot. Where she's up in the car lift and gets her midsection ripped off. And pot saves the day. Like, I build a giant bong out of a carburetor.
Yeah, that's all Seth Green, which also is great. But I think this very accurately describes the movie, because it truly is so many different people trying to make a movie, and you just, a lot of it gets lost. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I like that it's not only they're trying to make a movie, they're all giving it their 100. Mm-hmm. Every single one, like the director is 100 going, I'm going Italian horror elements, I'm doing all this shit, like a fucking giallo film. The actors are like, oh, we're going to, like, really get into our characters. And these, we're going to be boys. And we're going to fucking, like, nail this role.
Yeah.
And the fucking writers are just, like, trying to be... Yeah. They're aiming for Heathers. They're like, no, we want to be a cult classic. We want this to be funny. And the studio's just like, pot?
And, question mark.
You know, weird little jokes and make everything a little cuter. And blah, 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 blah. It, but you know what? It kind of works. I don't know why.
It does.
Editor saved the day. The editor probably saved
the
day.
The editor was just like, what the fuck do you expect me to do with this?
He's like, I'm getting all kinds of fucking notes. Nobody trusts each other. I'm going to make my goddamn movie. I'm locking all you out. That's what the editor did.
Yeah.
Ugh. And of course, finally, until he is in the hospital towards the end of the film, Anton never removes any article of clothing he puts on. He is stacking on the whole movie.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, that is weird. I didn't notice that.
Mm-hmm. I noticed. I was just like... you've been wearing the same clothes this entire time.
Oh, that's funny. What's the timeline in this movie?
A couple days.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Stoner comedy for sure.
Yeah.
My God.
Which I'm just like, disgusting. Take a shower. But also, he's in high school. So
it's in character.
Yeah. It's in character. Character. Disgusting. Take a shower.
You sound like his mom. That was a good mom voice. That was a good mom voice. That was a good mom voice right there. That was just straight up just like... oh, is that the same fucking shirt that I saw 3 days ago?
Huh? Disgusting. Take a shower.
Did you even beat the game you're playing right now? What's going on with you right now, son?
I can't wait to roast my children.
Oh my God, it's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? They're going to be very witty children by the end of it. Because they're going to have to compete with mom.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a good
approach. Yeah, I'm going to roast. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Anyways, that's a good thought. All right, so...
oh, what? How I can't wait to, like, lovingly...
I would love to see it. I would love to just be, like, in the living room chilling, like, oh, we're going to record, and you're just like, oh, you guys are making too much noise, huh? To raise a fucking...
you're not good at video games anyway. No, I'm kidding.
What are you guys in competitive for? Every time I see you play, like, shit.
Yeah. Lovingly roasting my children is...
It'd be wonderful. Okay, so how did this film release? What's going on with this one?
So, we've talked about this time and time again, and it just always sneaks its way in. Not 9/11. No, I know what you're thinking. We mm-hmm. talked about that last week. This week, it's Columbine.
Well, we are on a roll with these ones, aren't we? Oh, Jesus.
The film was delayed in its release initially because of Columbine, because basically there's murders that take place in a high school.
Okay.
So they were just like, we can't have that because of Columbine.
You're right. Okay, that makes sense. I can see this.
Well, also, this is frenzy. Also pre-9/11. Mm-hmm. So they were just like, oh, this is like the worst thing that has happened in America ever.
Yeah, it was a really great era for people who liked, like, you know, holding onto their britches and just being, you know, just being shocked about everything. Oh, they were having a time.
It looked like you were, like, holding onto, like, a trench coat for a second, and I was just like, no, it's the opposite. People who were wearing trench coats were not having a great time right now.
No, but the beige kind of reinforces that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And again, this is not a visual medium right now. We are describing what we're doing.
No. Sorry. Happy 420.
Aye. Columbina. Oh, again, if you were going to get up in arms about something, you had a lot of ammo at this time.
Mm-hmm. I'm not. There is a joke there.
No.
There is an ammo.
I didn't even realize the transition there. Oh, boy.
You're going
so
to
what's
hell.
What's more?
Going to
We're
hell.
Not
going to
push that button. Let's keep going.
I'm not. Well, no, because you handed it to me on a silver fucking platter. And the fact that I didn't take it, I just, hurts. If there wasn't a microphone recording what I
was. Oh, yeah. We have the power of editing. You could have thrown it in there. No, but it would have been hard not to. You couldn't cut that.
Idle Hands, released on April 30th, 1999, and grossed over $4 million from an estimated $25 million budget.
Over $4 million. Hey, that sounds like they're trying to hype up that just one number they have.
Isn't that so
fucked? Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like a post-mortem just silence right there. Just, oof.
Moment of silence.
I know I didn't see it in theaters, so you know what? I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I was going to say 1999. How old were you? But
12.
Yeah, you couldn't have seen it.
I mean, if I wanted to, I could have seen it. My uncles or my grandma probably would have taken me.
Fair enough.
Yeah. We saw it on video when it first came out on video, though. We rented the shit out of it. It's a great movie to rent.
Interesting. Yeah. Anyway. On Rotten Tomatoes, as of March 2020, the film has a 15% rating out of 55 reviews.
Jesus.
With an average rating of 3.9 out of 10, the site's consensus reading, quote, an uneasy mix of slapstick and gore, Idle Hands lacks the manic energy and comedic inspiration required to pull off its goofy premise, unquote. Disagree.
15% is really hard to do, so, you know, kudos to Idle Hands for only appealing to that section of critics in 1999.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this is as of 2020.
Fuck. Well, shit.
Yeah.
They probably was like 10% back in the day.
I think it appeals to a very, very niche audience, and we just both so happen to be part of that audience.
Definitely. Like, people, you know, people understand. They have a good taste in this shit. They know. Idle Hands is gold.
Right? The film ultimately did become a cult classic, as we all know, even though it was pretty much universally panned in 1999 by critics.
Mm-hmm.
The film was parodied in the Robot Chicken episode Dragon Nuts, in the sketch Idle Nuts.
Oh, wow.
The sketch has essentially the same plot as the original movie, but involving possessed testicles instead of a possessed hand. Thanks, Seth Green.
Seth Green was a busy boy at this time.
He was like, let's take the movie I was in and just balls.
That's a Seth Green thing. Oh, yes. I love that. That's nice.
Oh my gosh. I remember learning, like, as a kid, I was very, I would say my humor, like, boy humor didn't appeal to me because I was a boy.
Yeah.
Learning that Seth Green, like, did Robot Chicken, I was just, like, kind of disappointed.
Huh. Why?
Because I loved Seth Green and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Yeah. So I was just like, Robot Chicken, really?
Oh, I loved Robot Chicken.
Though. But then I started watching it, and it was one of those things that I kind of loved on, like, the DL, and I was like, no one can know I find this funny.
Oh, I think I have the first two seasons on DVD.
Because the first two seasons were really good.
They were so good.
They were awesome.
They were, like, really good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Anyway, I am now, like, I can say that I like Robot Chicken, okay?
There you go.
Thanks.
Whatever you want, Alex.
Thanks for hyping me up.
You can like liking things.
Thanks. Thanks. On Letterboxd. However, Idle Hands has a 3.0 out of 11,000 reviews.
Okay.
So,
not bad.
Slightly better. Not much, but at least something.
Pretty good for that amount of reviews, I would say.
Yeah, considering. Logan Van Winkle with 3.5 stars. Quote, I get mad enough fighting over the remote with other people. The thought of fighting over it with my own hand that has a mind of its own? Devastating.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now with no stars, user Based said, quote, first we had considered new metal horror. Now we must consider pop punk horror.
We've used him before, haven't we?
Huh?
Based?
Maybe, probably.
I think so. He sounds familiar.
Jules with 3 stars. Quote, peak 90s. Yes. Devin Sawa, Seth Green, The Offspring playing at the school dance. Tom DeLonge working at a fast food place. Yep. Dialogue like, you guys going to the dance? Hell no. Can you see us in stupid ass costumes? Groovy to Hanson and Jewel? What do we look like? Total losers, man?
God damn.
Unquote. Should be studied in history class, TBH.
Yeah, no, that was perfect. That's such a good review. This is peak 90s. There's an OJ joke that was also in the trailer. Yes.
Did it make it into the... Oh no, I made an OJ joke over the weekend. I didn't see it in this movie.
Yes.
Did it make it into the movie?
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, before Seth Green's about to die. And he's talking about calling the police. He's like, well, if OJ can get away with it.
So can you, yeah.
Oh, I saw this trailer so much as a kid. It was literally in like some movie that I would watch all the time.
You were just like, okay, that's me with Alien vs. Predator. Mm-hmm. The only reason I have that trailer memorized is because it's right before X-Men 2 on the DVD.
The Offspring was playing on the trailer as well, just so you know.
The Offspring was the people playing in the movie.
Exactly.
Like when I saw that, I was like, is that the Offspring? Is that the 90s? What?
And then
he gets scalped.
Mm-hmm. And that's
by a hand.
That's a practical effect, too. Mm-hmm. Not CGI.
You can tell, because it looks fucking awesome.
Looks great.
And finally, William with 4.5 stars. Me and the besties once we get vaccinated. Unquote.
In the basement couch.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. This is so suburban in, like, the best way possible. Like, it's just like, not only are you smoking weed... Like, in your parents' house, it's, like, in the basement, and it's, like, mm-hmm. relatively, like, you know, like, all you have to do is light some incense, and your parents pretend they don't notice. Like, if I did that in the living room, like, mm-hmm. my mom would walk in and be like, I know what you did.
Oh, my God, fucking.
Like, she'd just choke, like, she'd force choke me. Like Darth Vader, like, she would just be like, I know what you did. Yeah, exactly.
Inhale no more.
Yeah, exactly. And then I would be murdered.
As we're doing the force choke motion again, I know it's all sound, Alex. We gotta point this out to people.
One day we'll do a visual medium.
Oh, my God. No, there was a... I forgot where my mind... I had one more thing to add onto that, but you know what? Fuck it. Let's get to the plot.
Okay.
Let's get to the plot.
Talk about this plot. Do you want to kick it off, Anthony?
Mm.
I know. I have cold brew. I have weed. I have one of my best friends.
Right.
We have Idle Hands.
Like, we are talking about it. We're going to go through the plot of Idle Hands.
I know.
This is hype.
This is... Are you ready?
I was waiting for this. All right. Mr. and Mrs. Tobias are settling into bed when they notice a message on the ceiling and hear a noise from outside. Mr. Tobias goes to check what the noise was. Well, Mrs. Tobias calls the police, but she gets dragged under her bed and she gets killed. Real bad.
This is such a great opening.
It's pretty, like, you can tell this is his Italian movie that he was trying to do the horror
it's
right
true.
Here.
Like, it actually, yeah, I can see, like, the giallo little essence here.
It does. It has a kind of a Suspiria color palette.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's shot pretty dynamically.
It has that kind of uncanny kind of vibe to it that a lot of giallo films do. And I think it's a camera angle.
It is. Yeah. He goes pretty, like, not... standard.
Right.
Yeah.
And that feels a little like, it feels off, like mm-hmm. feels off and you don't exactly know what it is.
But we'll let you know, it's also comedy, is Fred Willard is in this scene. So you know
dad.
You can't ever really take it seriously because it's Fred Willard.
Well, and then he's also talking shit about his son. He's just like, our son is useless. And then the wife is just like, no, he's not.
It's like, that boy wouldn't get out of bed if the house was on fire.
Yeah. And it's just, and you know what? My parents would have said the same thing about me, but also that's because I slept in. Do you remember sleeping in until like 1
p.m.? Oh my God.
My
max is 11. But there were times when I went to the afternoon. There were times. But 11 was like I would be like, get up, man. Just get up.
Just fucking get
up. I know you were up to like 4 last night. Just fucking get up.
No, because like, it's true. Because we were up until like fucking like.
That was my time.
2 to 4.
That was my fucking
every
time.
Every fucking night.
Best time.
How did we do that?
YouTube was the at its I
well okay YouTube I was on Tumblr I was mm-hmm. like watching stuff. I had friends in other like countries and other states that
you know
also
what?
Were doing it. Like
my cell phone wasn't a smartphone either, so at that time for me my things that I would do on a smartphone all had to be done on the computer. And my most alone time to have all that wonderful me time using the internet was just the AM hours.
Oh my gosh. And plus all of like my in real life, like all my high school friends, like into the same shit. So like they would come over and then we'd be like giggling into the dead of night.
We'd be playing Smash Brothers like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And or be on AIM. You know, some friends would be on AIM talking and doing their internet shit on our friend's computer because they had their own Chrome browser fucking thing because we'd be at each other's house all the time. Mm-hmm. We're all talking shit or playing Monopoly or playing fucking Smash. It was a great time. Checking their MySpace and like, hey, you see the person fucking posted this?
You're not in their top 8 anymore.
Oh,
bitch.
Shit. Yeah, what did you do?
No, but, like, seriously, like, I would do that, be up until, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, pass out, and then wake up at noon, and my parents, I mean, I'm surprised my parents only asked me if I was on drugs once, but, like,
that makes sense. Yeah.
I'd stay up until, and then wake up at, like, 11, anytime between 11 and 1, and then just roll over, get out of bed, and open my computer again. Like, I was useless in high school.
It was a marathon. It was a fucking marathon, wasn't
it? Like, I never left my room. I could talk about this forever, but seeing my brother, when I'm just like, what does he do in his room all the time? Like, now seeing myself be that person, because when people ask me that question, I wanted to fucking, like, throttle them. And now being that person, I'm like, what is he doing? Like, why is he in his room all the time? And then I'm like, oh, I remember when that was me.
You're like, oh no, he's got that Webster style right there.
Yeah, we're just little, like, I don't know, hermits, I guess. Like,
same here. Same. I feel like I had a definite hermit era, but I was also, I think I was extroverted in my heart, but I was like, just
extroverted with my internet friends, though. That's the thing. Yeah. It's like, I was like, that whole time I was like isolated physically from my family. Mm-hmm. I was like super hyper social with all these people.
That's
consistently
true.
I was talking to people from sun up to sundown.
Yeah, having conversations on AIM all goddamn day. Yeah. All goddamn day. It was great.
We're getting very heated about this.
I know.
For one.
And we're all getting, we haven't said, that's the first line of the plot, by the way. That's the first line that Alex wrote. And we did not take the parents' side on that one. And
no.
They died.
Yeah.
What happened next?
Their lazy stoner son, Anton, hasn't noticed their disappearance in 7 days.
Oh boy.
One morning, Anton runs out of weed and goes to his friend Nub's house to get some more. But he says he ran out of weed too.
Yeah, that's great.
This is the Wikipedia plot synopsis, by the way.
No, this is great because it's like, this movie, this is, again, you can kind of see that Italian influence where it's like, they're establishing characters just by his actions.
Yeah.
He's like, just doing shit, and it's like, yeah, he's a fucking lazy piece of shit. Look at him. Like,
it's true. Like, look at him. He doesn't walk with, like, oomph. Like, he's just, like, lazy. Look at how flowy his arms are.
He's listening to the most 90s-ass song in his headphones I slept with.
Like, he sleeps in his head.
It's
like ska. Like, he sits with, like, his headphones on his chest, and then he literally opens his eyes, sits up, grabs his headphones, puts them on, and gets out of bed. And I'm just like, what in the fuck?
Oh, and it's so 90s. Like, it just feels like he's got like a fucking tube TV and shit.
Yeah.
It's great.
Very,
very plain.
It's very plain.
Very plain.
Just plain to see.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Ah. Ooh, now I'm feeling good. It's all balancing together now. This is great.
The weed and the coffee cancel each other out.
They are, and the booze is making everything just flow a little nicer.
That was you, bitch.
That's me. No, that's... I can't... Why do I keep hitting this fucking thing? I'm still not used to the tablet. I'm used to it, but I'm not, like, 100% used
to it.
Like,
you're getting there.
The flow's not the same, you know?
Uh-huh.
All right, let's go.
Literally, it's been recording this entire time.
Okay.
Oh, man. I had a thought, and then it was just, like...
The plane.
Yeah.
The plane fucked everything up.
God damn it.
Oh my god, how are we gonna do this?
Anyway,
we got this.
Happy 420.
Yay! Alright, Nub and his other friend, Mick, played by Seth Green, by the way, suggest that Anton...
Yes, we've been saying that.
...should go and talk to his neighbor, Molly, the girl that he likes, and she's driving a little moped.
Yeah.
And she has a little book of lyrics, and she has the helmet on, so she's safe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Angelic Jessica Alba.
She's so pretty.
They give her that male gaze like a motherfucker, though.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not like just straight up like...
We're objectifying you. You're being objectified.
It's a little voyeuristic, little bit. Yeah.
I mean,
the director knew what he was actually trying. It's interesting.
It's Yeah. It's very... The whole movie, just it's all on its head the whole time.
It's a weird mix of influences. Again, somehow works.
So, you stole my line.
Oh my god.
By mentioning it. So, he does see that Molly dropped her lyrics book and goes to return it. It ends up being pretty awkward.
Okay. I said she had the book. See? And then he contributed that she did indeed drop the book. And that he fucked up that exchange pretty bad.
Which was hilarious.
So 90s, though. Oh, such that so 90s like, nerd, awkward, white boy, also, like trope.
Again, in high school, like, you couldn't pay me to answer the door.
Yeah.
Like, someone else who's not me is going to answer it because I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. Why is she the only one who ever answers the door? And like, it's like, is this your house? Is it
What? Oh, I didn't even think about that. I've been watching the movie for years. Since I was 12 years old, I never once thought, oh yeah, our parents exist, right? Like, yeah.
I mean, there's the one scene where like they're making out and she's like, oh my god, my parents are home. But it's just like, that could be easily be exchanged with, oh my god, my roommates are home. Like, it could be anything.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Mind blown right there. Jesus. Yeah. Wow. All right.
But that's like a trope. Like, not, I mean, this isn't totally like the shit on Idle Hands. Mm-hmm. It's like, you see that in a ton of like 90s.
No,
like,
that's true. Again, with the awkward white boy. It's just, he's that ultimate protagonist that has some deficiencies, a weird around the girl he likes.
Uh-huh. Well, also what does make him, like, different is because he's the lazy stoner.
Yeah, exactly. So. That adds a little bit of a layer to it. He is pre-Harold.
A thin layer, but a layer.
Pre-Harold of Harold and Kumar. He's the transitional step.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what, though? That makes me think of other 90s boy protagonists. Have you ever seen Can't Hardly Wait?
No.
Okay, well, Ethan Embry was good in that one, and he kind of fits this. He could have done this. Boy Meets World, who plays Eric Matthews? Will mm-hmm. Friedle would have killed it. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. But mm-hmm. but Devon Sawa was kind of, again.
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of top tier for the choice for this one.
Top tier.
All right, so Anton goes home and makes himself a sandwich and notices the knife he's using is covered in blood and his cat Bones is playing with an eyeball. Oh,
and that's when, like, shit just... Like, the movie is, like, campy and weird up until this point, but it's not, like, just straight up off the rails, like, fucking bananas.
Oh, my God. This movie did...
After this, it takes a turn.
There's something so charming, though, about its graphic violence. I don't know what it is.
It's because, like, there's nothing legit. Like, you have to have, like, your suspension of disbelief needs to be in the stratosphere for this movie.
You're watching a cartoon.
Yeah.
This is a cartoon logic permeates this entire movie.
Absolutely. Yes.
This is when it becomes a cartoon from here on out.
Yes, absolutely. So, before that, it's just, like, campy, like, Dawson's Creek level cheese.
Yeah. And then... like, 90s haircuts and weird soundtracks. Yeah. Hey, stoner friend, I'm just lying to my friend because I don't want to give him weed. He's a loser.
Exactly. And then, from this moment on, it turns into, like, a cartoon. Yeah, it turns into, like, a cartoon.
I mean, should we read the synopsis again? It's about a hand.
Possessed
hand.
Which also, by the way, at this point, people are dying, and Anton is just like, who's killing these people?
I love how they use newsreels in this to establish that there has been killings. Yeah, that's good. It's good. It's a weirdly... Again, the writers were trying for something here. I don't know.
Sure. So, running in a panic, he trips and finds his parents' corpses, which are 7 days, decomposed. Mm. Mick and Nub show up, and Anton shows them the bodies. Then they figure out that the killer is Anton in a comedy mm-hmm. of just, like, errors and happenstances where they are in true, full, like, stoner teenage boy fashion are just like, God. Hey, dude. You have blood on you. Like
he's missing a piece of his shirt that's so perfectly cut out.
And he and Seth Green's character doesn't even notice until like a good 3 minutes later. It's like the whole thing is just hilariously like the comedic timing in this movie is spot on.
Oh, it's so good.
And I think that's why like this movie is like you can watch it and it's not just be like rolling your eyes the entire time.
They do feel like bros. In this last scene with all of them in this current state, they all feel like bros. Especially like the one that always makes me feel it feels very organic is when Nub goes in and he starts hitting his dad's chest, CPR.
He's just like, wake up!
He's like, dude, what are you doing? That's my dad. He's like, I saw it on Baywatch. Which, again, 90s as fuck.
Yeah.
Seth Green just being one-liners and zingers in the back every fucking second.
And again, comedic timing is spot on.
It's great. It's fucking great. Mick tries to call 911, but Anton pulls out the phone cord and claims that he isn't the killer. But he murders Mick with a glass bottle. In a very gnarly fashion.
And this is mostly, and this is off screen too. We just hear like him like break the bottle and then we hear Mick screaming.
And you get the aftermath.
Yeah. Oh, this is, and again, practical effects.
I gotta say though, I do remember the first time seeing this, it was like, it's still shocking to see Seth Green die.
Oh, yeah. It was still very upsetting. I was upset. Yeah. This was the first time I'd seen this movie. So when he dies, spoiler alert, he comes back for this 22-year-old movie. When he died, I was just like, is that it? Is that all we're going to see then for the rest of the movie?
Mm-hmm.
No, not at all. So Anton promises Nub that he didn't mean to do it. But they find out Anton's hand is possessed. His hand chases Nub into the basement and Anton tries to stop his hand so Nub can escape. But his hand overpowers him and decapitates Nub.
Oh, it's going to be interesting trying to explain hand logic.
He's like fighting his own hand.
Yeah.
Great acting by Mr.
Oh my god. He's like, isn't it though? The hand, he legitimately gives his hand a character.
Yeah.
It's like
it literally has a mind of its own.
It's so menacing though.
Yeah.
Like it actually feels wild and like it can fuck up anything.
Yeah, like he genuinely can't control his hand, which is, he did a great job.
Yeah. Oh my god, his hand's a legit threat. That's amazing. And you know, you need your killers, despite it being a limb, to appear threatening in these movies.
Well, this didn't make it, but once his hand is cut off, mm-hmm. It's played by the hand from the Addams Family. The same guy.
That's a pro level hand, though.
Yeah. It's an expert level hand.
That's a money
hand
right there.
Exactly.
That's a money hand right there.
The guy who does that is also a magician, so he's very emotive with his hands.
Oh, that is wonderful. Okay, so.
So there's your fun fact for the day.
See, more shit. So this is kind of the format we used to have. This is like I remember our first season?
Like the first four episodes?
We're all cutting in with other trivia in the middle of it and shit. Wow. Bringing it back before... No, that's wonderful. Bringing it back before 20. All right. Anton's hand throws Bones, the cat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Out the window, and he goes to look for him. But the hand pulls him onto Molly's porch and rings her doorbell. Again, great setup.
Just like... Nah, 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 nah.
Comedically, though, that cat flies... And it's just, it's...
Do you want to see some grade A fake cat animatronics just spinning in the air?
Oh my
this
God.
Movie is for you.
They nailed that shot.
It was very funny.
And they get him right to the girl next door. Just like, it's an efficient movie. It's a very efficient movie. It just goes.
One thing to the other.
Yeah.
So, somehow, by like being possessed with this, like his hand being possessed, somehow manages to work it out. So Molly ends up taking Anton into her room to make out. But her parents come home. Bummer. So Anton leaves. Okay, so let's just pause here for a moment, shall we?
Yeah.
So, one, I didn't realize Jessica Alba was like 17.
Yeah, he's 17.
Because, like, Anton literally has to tie his own hand back.
Yes.
Because he's trying to make out with this girl, and, like, the hand keeps trying to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and, like, he's, like, tying his own hand up, and she's like, ooh, kinky. And I was just like, okay, first of all, you're 17 years old now. This is weird.
And that was in the trailer. That line was in the trailer. That line capped off the trailer.
No, it didn't.
They didn't even show the scene. All they showed was the trailer, and they give you the credits, like, with all the
and
people.
And the very end.
And the last line is, kinky. Oh, you gotta watch the trailer. It's
I need
90s
to.
Of shit,
is
dude.
Hilarious.
Yeah. It is weird.
Oh, my God.
It is weird.
Anyway, so Molly as a character is just, like, willingly oblivious, I think? Or is just, like, an archetype of archetypes?
I think that's the way to put it. Every role that the film needs her to be in, she will fill. But because that's her character.
Yes.
Because that's her...
It's like, if not another teen movie... had an extra that they just threw into idle hands.
It's like they couldn't split the pristine girl next door and her like slutty friend, and they're like, no, you know what? How about she's still pristine, but she's into some shit, and we're just gonna combine together.
Yeah, let's put them together. Depending on like
the situation,
or basically like it's like when you play a video game. Mm-hmm. And there's two options for dialogue.
Yes.
There's the girl next door answer, and mm-hmm. there's the I just really want to have sex with you answer.
She's like, I picked the red option. Red option for this scene. And then blue option because the enemy's after us right now. Right.
And she goes back and forth between the two.
Yeah. Red option because right now there hasn't been any salacious stuff happening for a little bit.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. that's the vibes I get. So Anton buries his friends and his parents' corpses in his backyard, but Mick and Nub come back as zombies and knock him out.
And the director got to do a zombie resurrection scene.
Oh man, this scene is actually very, this was also funny because like I said, this was the first time I've seen this movie. Mm-hmm. So hearing, like, I was like, where is this going? Like, because you hear Seth Green's character yelling from underneath the ground like, no, you idiot, I'm not dead. And I was just like, what is going on here?
Oh, that's great.
And it had, I want to, that scene had a very like Beetlejuice feel.
Yes, it does. Oh, it so does.
Okay.
You're not, no, okay. That's like spot on.
Okay, yeah.
Oh my God. I never thought about that either. It's nice to have your lens having first seen this, because I've been literally just doze watching this. Like if it's on, it's on for like 22 years.
Yeah, so.
Damn.
There you go. It felt like
Beetlejuice. It's so Beetlejuicy. Okay. No, it's like way Beetlejuicy. God damn. And you know what? The special effects and just the way it shot fit that vibe too.
Yeah, like totally.
It really does. My God.
I also love Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice is such a good movie.
Also similar kind of like humor.
Such a good, exactly. With less weed.
I mean, God, stoner Beetlejuice?
I can't even imagine. It's already Michael Keaton.
I know.
So meanwhile, a druidic high priestess named Debbie Liqueur? I can't remember.
Liqueur.
is hunting the spirit responsible for killing across the country.
This scene is so funny.
This is Vivica A. Fox rolling up in here.
Like, yeah, right? And then, but no, just the scene where, like, she realizes it's a pentagram mm-hmm. and, like, she's in her little, like, airstream.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing is really funny. And I'm just like, okay.
And she's so vocal the whole time. She's like, shit! Like,
what the fuck? But no, that whole thing. And then also, because this is kind of similar to time frame to Kill Bill, mm-hmm. I was just like, Copperhead.
Eek. Exactly, yeah. Gosh. She just, I feel like this helped her be known as, like, a badass.
Mm-hmm.
She probably all had that vibe in some way, but like, come on. She just has that look.
She totally.
She just has that look.
She has the look.
Mm-hmm.
So after his hand, Anton, mm-hmm. His hand kills two cops in his living room, which were annoying cops, by the way.
Yeah, they knew him in high school. Or not in high school.
Yeah, because the cops were seniors when they were freshmen. And they were just like, okay. Oh, you're too cool for us, exactly. Even though they were seniors and they were freshmen.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Oh, they give him the dumbest fucking faces, too, these cops.
Yeah.
Anyway,
they're dead.
One gets tased in the fucking face.
Oosh. Anyway, so once this happens, Anton cuts off his hand with a cleaver. Ooh. Again, a scene that for some reason I was expecting to be taken seriously, but was not taken seriously at all.
Oh my God, it's wonderful.
It is the most comedic, like, played for laughs scene. Like, literally, this teenager is walking mm-hmm. around with a, like, his hand is cut off, and he is just fine.
Oh my, and you know what, also, I love that, leading up to that, they try so many different avenues to get this hand off.
Yes.
They're like, have like a little chop machine. They're like, nothing's working. And that part's too, it's such a build up to like, when it finally happens, it's fucking gruesome. And then they throw the fucking microwave. And it's like a whole fucking thing.
It's running around like a scared little rat.
It's
but then you're just like, but then Seth Green's character, which by the way, the scene where he wakes up and Nub is holding his own head in his lap and Seth Green is sitting there with the bottle in his head and he's just like, sup. That is a gif I have seen so many times, like, growing up.
Great.
And I was, like, I had no idea what it was from. I didn't really care, but I thought it was really, like, it looked cool.
because it does look cool.
It's true. And then when I saw it, I was just like, I've seen so many gifts from Idle Hands growing up that I just had no idea were from Idle Hands.
It's really is like a cult classic movie. Like this is the definition of that. Totally. And like he's throwing popcorn at his fucking head.
Yeah. And I don't know. This movie is deliriously fun.
It's fun. Definitely. So Nub and Mick seek out a first aid kit while Anton traps the hand in a microwave, burning it, which I just said, but yes, it's gruesome. Well,
and it's disgusting. But also I forgot to mention Mick, cauterizes the wound of Anton's like wrist stump with an iron.
Yes. Somehow that got heated very quickly.
I mean, those things get hot real fucking quick.
That's true. But my God, though, like, it's kind of funny because it
oh my God.
Huh?
I just remembered a funny story. Go.
Oh, no, his character is somehow able to come up with the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of all the characters.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, no, this will work.
I've seen this on fucking some show that was on in the 90s.
It was also his idea to get the first aid kit. He was like, no, dude, you gotta, like, otherwise, you know, gangrene's gonna sit in or whatever the fuck. Did I ever tell you? Okay, so you know those cigarette lighters in cars?
Yeah.
From, like, you know, any time before, like, 2000
before babies can reach it, yes.
Well, or stupid adolescence. I was cleaning my mom's car
because
you know when you were an adolescent, you had to do what your parents told you.
Yes,
and if they told you to clean your car, you did it.
They got free labor. Yeah.
I was just like, I don't know. I pushed it in for a second, and I pulled it out, and I was like, I wonder if this is hot already.
Oh no.
And I touched it with my thumb, and the answer was yes, because I immediately got a double-ringed blister on my thumb. I shouldn't have thumbprints on like, one of my hands, but I do. Like, I had a straight-up, like, disgusting blister.
Oh, and on the most useful of the fingers.
I mean, this was before iPhones. I didn't need, thumbs are important. Like, opposable thumbs are really what set us apart from a lot of animals. Like,
other primates, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I fucked up my thumb. And I was, like, 12, maybe. Like, I was stupid. And my mom was like, well, you gonna do it again? I was like, nope. It sucked. Ass.
He's like, at least it wasn't a stove.
I mean, but it was so stupid. Like, why did I do that? Like, I was just like, is it hot already?
We have enough exposure to 80s and 90s mob movies to know how quickly that thing works. I get it.
If your parents
had let you watch darker films, this could have been avoided.
So it's my parents' fault. Do you hear that, Dad?
Yeah.
If you had just exposed me to 80s and 90s mob movies, I would have known how quickly the cigarette lighters and cars heat up.
Or other movies of a violent nature.
It's true.
A lot of that, you know, and there are other movies. For instance, Child's Play 1. We covered it. You know what? Chucky gets fucking hit with the goddamn thing. And there's a mark on his face the whole time. She'd remember that mark. When she was a kid, she'd known her thumb would have that mark.
It's not my fault.
Nope.
Anyway, that's my funny story of me being a stupid 12-year-old.
And why you should let your kids watch
why you should let your kids
horrifying
watch,
films
watch at a very young films age. From very young ages.
And 80s mob movies.
Yes.
And 90s mob movies.
Yes.
Yeah, they need to see the scenes in Goodfellas where fucking Joe Pesci just starts kicking people out. Because you gotta know. You gotta know what that is. You don't want to have that happen to you. That's how you know how it's a bad thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Jesus.
A little high.
I'm like coming down, so do your thing.
All right.
Meanwhile, Debbie, now along with Randy, Anton's neighbor, hunts Anton down to put a stop to the possessed hand. So they meet at like a bowling alley, and Anton's just like, what's cooking, good looking? And that's not the line, but it might as well be. And,
oh my God.
Yeah, their whole thing is. Also, Randy. Like, established dirtbag. Like, he's like the guy from Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
Like, I keep getting older, but the girls still stay the same age. Like,
oh, he's the same. Yeah,
same character.
He's definitely has that McConaughey attempt right there.
Yeah. I mean, he's just like the metal like version.
Oh, but he's so pathetic too. Like, they give him enough scenes where it's like, oh, you're so bullshitting, motherfucker. And he's just like playing. He's kind of like Boomhauer.
No, I love King of the Hill.
Have you ever seen that episode where Boomhauer, when Bobby sees how he gets his women?
No.
And Bobby sees Boomhauer is like, oh, he's such a ladies' man. All he does is literally go to a clothes store in the mall and hits on every woman he sees until one of them eventually acquiesces. It's great. Because it, like, totally destroys his legend. Like, it's perfect.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it kind of has that vibe where he's like, oh, fucking that finished off?
No,
okay.
My problem with Boomhauer is that he speaks, like, 90% of the relatives on my dad's side of the family.
Oh, that is hilarious because you guys are inland folks, huh?
NorCal. Like, NorCal, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
There you
yes.
go.
Yes.
That is like some woods around you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, so after sending Molly to the school dance, Anton returns home to finish off the hand. Unfortunately, Nub and Mick inadvertently release the hand to eat a burrito.
And they're just
with
like...
the nastiest burrito effect.
This is the funniest... Oh.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's disgusting.
To this day, that gets me.
It's disgusting.
It's gross.
But no, I love that scene where, like, they open, like, the hand goes flying and it's just, like, doing its thing, whatever. And then Nub is just like, the microwave's a little gross. You think we should clean it?
Yeah.
And then Mick is just like, the whole place is disgusting. We're not his fucking maids.
Yeah, he's like, well, why don't we vacuum and clean the couch and do all the other bullshit?
You fucking idiot. Like, again, his Seth timing Green in this movie is spot on.
I mean, he's coming off Austin Powers here. He's full force Seth Green. He knows what's up. He brought some legitimacy to this product, legitimately, yeah, in the 90s.
Yeah.
Dude, peak Green.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, so...
So, after this, the three then steal Randy's truck and then head to the school. Mick and Nub go to the Halloween dance to watch over Molly while Anton looks for the hand.
Oh my gosh, this fucking scene. Ugh. Are we gonna get to the kill in the fucking car when we first see
no.
the hand? Oh my god.
We can talk about it right now though, because technically we've passed it.
Okay, so the hand kills a couple that
are like.
I will tell you, one of the earliest titties I've seen.
Really?
One of the early ones.
I mean, like, it's a nice pair of titties.
But I was also entering. They were great. They set the bar pretty high. Like, I gotta say, I loved those as a kid. But,
okay.
You know, preteen. I was preteen when I saw this. Yeah. But that was just in that era when you were kind of more allowed to see shit like this.
Right. When you were just like, okay, cool.
I'm going through.
cool.
I'm feeling ways about stuff right now.
Yeah.
But the. But it's also like a just. Horrifying death. It's a bloody ass scene too.
Oh yeah.
You just go from one thing to the other. This movie just plays it up.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also like one of those things where it's like you can't not look at the titties in this movie because like she's getting groped by two hands and then there's a third hand and the third hand is the idle hand. And
it plays into the actual mechanic of what you're supposed to get out of the scene. It's insane.
Yeah.
Not gratuitous.
It's pretty gratuitous.
Yeah, but I mean, but the hand gets the kill. And in a comedic way.
Sure. Defend this scene.
Better used than... Nah, I can't. Mm-mm. I can't. But again, it does fit the vibe of the film overall.
Oh, totally. Like, it's a really... And then, yeah, they just get murdered and then...
So gruesomely.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good scene.
It adds to the... Oh, and that, of course, is, of course, now we just learned the Addams Family hand playing this.
Uh-huh. It is.
Oh,
the
boy.
Disembodied hand.
So, Randy and Debbie meet up with Anton. Debbie explains that the hand will drag Molly's soul into the netherworld. And I like how they're introducing, like, major plot points, like, this late.
Literally, there's, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
They're maybe
like,
less.
Let's add some stakes right now.
And then she, like, I love that she, like, does this, like, again, not a visual medium. Sorry.
Yeah.
She clicks her watch.
I know
watch.
You're getting that, yeah.
She clicks her watch, and it opens, and it's, like, the stupidest. And she's like, on Druid time. And I'm like... East Coast time because they're like, oh, it's almost 9. We have 3 hours to find the hand, and she's just like, no, Druid time, no,
midnight Druid time. We have 6 minutes,
and it's just like, oh, so it's East Coast time.
Yeah,
because it's literally like you guys put no thought into this whatsoever.
Oh no, and she plays it so genuinely though.
She does. She says it so dramatically. She overplays her character so much that it's just so fucking funny.
By the way, their fight scene. This is the best part to me. Is like she is just. This badass that gets her ass kicked by stoned out fucking one-handed Anton.
He's just like, ah.
He just scurries his way out and is just fucking, she's done.
And
she's amazing.
Just like, you cut off your hand?
Oh,
gross.
It's fucking great, this movie.
Yeah.
God damn.
So, Anton crashes the dance and tries to warn everyone about his hand, but is ignored. Widely. Hilariously.
In that typical high school scene where some nerd takes over the fucking mic.
Secondhand embarrassment. I was high as fuck and I still had secondhand embarrassment. I was like, I can't watch this. This is so cringy.
And like, it's funny because it is somewhat followed by a musical number a la Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
Because instead of Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and what's her name?
Kathy and the Jimmy.
We get The Offspring.
Yeah. Again, pop punk horror.
Because the hand then scalps the band's lead singer and causes a mass panic, by the way, shot hilariously.
Yes.
Because you're seeing this big-titted girl in this, like, fucking... this weird costume that they keep cutting to randomly just so when the lead singer dies, you can see her scream.
Yeah.
That's
so she
it.
She can be like, ah.
Yep. Ah, with the hands out and everything. Oh, it's great.
Well, also,
it knows what it is.
It knows exactly what, yeah. I mean, does it? Because there's like four people, like four different, like, this is what we want.
No, you're right. The editor knows what it was.
By the end of the movie, it kind of like does circles around like what, like they're like, no, this is just,
yeah,
this is just delightful trash. Yeah. But yeah, this is like The Offspring. Like, they are tangible, like, people. Like, they're like, there's even a moment earlier in the movie where Jessica Alba is just like, but we're gonna miss the band.
Yeah.
And she's like, the band, really? And then I got to that scene and I'm like, oh, it's The Offspring. Like, it's a legit, it's a band.
It's fucking great. But, yeah, down to the acting. Like, they knew after a while. They're like, fuck it. Give it your all. Mm-hmm. Give it your all. So Molly and her friend Tanya escape through the vent, stupidly. They attempt to go through a fan, which they have stopped with Tanya's shoe, very miraculously. But Tanya gets hung on the rope by, of course, you know.
The hand.
Does
and
it.
this scene I thought was really funny because instead of the fan just cutting the rope like I was anticipating, it just dragged her up like a shoelace being caught in like a vacuum.
They know how to play it up. They're like, here's your expectation. Let's take it a little bit further.
Yeah, and then she just, you know, becomes cat food.
Yeah, she is splattered.
Yeah.
Oh my god. But it's funny because the vent situation is just like, no, this way. She's like, why there? Like, fucking, like, it makes no sense.
She becomes absolutely useless. And then Jessica Alba's character is just like, oh my god, you're stupid.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. So, okay, actually, we skipped ahead, but Molly tries to pull Tanya off the fan, but Anton's hand ends up removing Tanya's shoe, thus allowing her to be pulled to her death in the fan a la cat food.
Okay. Yes. 420. Molly then returns to the art room, causing her to get knocked out in the most dumbest, easy way possible. Yep. She's like,
I know, just after all of that, just like,
Anton enters and fights with the hand while it is inside a puppet, but it escapes into the auto shop, where Molly is strapped to a car, being raised toward the ceiling. It's such a contrived fight scene in the most perfect way possible.
Absolutely.
It's like, they know, they're like, we gotta get like a tiniest set piece we can right now.
Her getting knocked out is because at that point she's probably at like 2 hit points, I think.
Yeah, no, she's had a run.
Yeah.
With no rest points between.
No.
Yeah, none.
No saves. Yeah, no ends. Yeah, she's like, we got 2 hit points, and then so that's why she's just like, yeah.
Anton's got that little handicap bonus.
Yeah, right?
You have a status effect change, but.
But.
Increases your attack power and HP.
Oh, we're nerds. Okay. Yep. Anton, Mick, and Nub fight with the hand over the controls. Mick finds a mechanic's bong, and he and Nub smoke for strength. I've never smoked weed for strength in my life. It, if anything, makes me weaker.
But this is a lifestyle to them. This is just putting them back on the level.
It's true. It just makes them normal.
How are they? Dead. They're the lungs.
I know. Like, yeah, Nub, sure. But, yeah. Like, at this point, poor Anton was smoking oregano earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he did.
How long he's been sober, really?
He fell for the classic blunder.
Oh, my God. So, Anton blows smoke into the hand, still inside the puppet, of course, until it drops the controls and they save Molly.
In the stupidest moment of it pausing. and its eyes rolling back, and it turns red, and then all of a sudden its face changes, and it's just like, yeah, I'm stoned. And I'm just like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
This is the, yeah. To me, that was a little too much. It was a little, the puppet was a little too.
That was a little too
that
much.
Was, yeah, that was the part. I don't know why.
Because that also was very, not another teen movie.
Oh, was it?
It felt not, yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah, this, but it's still funny because it's like, it's such an, he really sees, has like a eureka moment.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's like, oh, this will like, do it. She's like, you're getting high with your friends?
Yeah. Of course you are. So, after this, Debbie throws a ritual knife at the hand, stopping it in a puff of smoke and fire.
I just love Seth Green's reaction to this.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, he's like, that was it?
Like, that's all it took, because I was scared that it was going to kill him because he got stabbed in the process.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, oh no, Seth Green.
I know. It's scary for a second, but he's just, that's so the tone of the movie. He's just like, oh, okay.
Whatever.
Yeah. Of course, though, she and Randy take off for ritualistic sex.
Right. This is like the funny one-liner, like as they exit the movie, and she's just like, well, now time for the druid ritualistic sex mission or
and
whatever.
He's just in for it.
Yeah, he's That's just great. Like, yeah.
Oh my God.
So Anton releases Molly from the top of the car, and they go under the car and start making out.
Of course.
Stupid.
In the process of lighting the bong for Mick, a nub accidentally hits the controls for the car, and Anton is crushed by the car.
Stupid.
Oh my God.
In the film's conclusion, Anton is in a body cast in the hospital, having given up heaven to stay with Molly. And Mick and Nub are now his guardian angels.
Oh my God.
This is like... Anyway.
This is stoner comedy, like, it's, pure.
Yes.
Pure stoner comedy.
It's very silly.
Yes, silly, absolutely.
It's just like, we're your guardian angels now, dude. Like, we decided to go to heaven. And then he decided to stay behind for a girl.
That he had just met.
Yeah.
And became his girlfriend within, like, a couple days.
Right. Which... Also, I love that he also just straight up was just like, that's my girlfriend. And
yep.
Like, there was no discussion of that. You made out once.
No, they had a nickname for each other. It was Baby Snakes.
I don't care.
You remember that? That means it's official when you're 17, Alex. You have a nickname.
Is that how that works?
Probably. I don't know. I was a loser at 17.
I mean, me too. I was just like, I don't know, but all right, sure.
Oh, that's funny.
Someone who was cooler than us, let us know.
When he is left alone in his room, Anton looks up and sees the message, I am under the bed, written along the ceiling. Mick and Nub walk down the hall, pondering if they should tell Anton. They were the ones that wrote the message, but decide against it, laughing. Oh, I did think that was hilarious.
End credits.
It was great. It's a good slap in the face at the end. It's perfect.
It's true.
He just like screams like a... Devin Sawa was like an actor.
Yeah,
so he was like giving it his all.
Guys, yeah, oh. It's pretty good.
And that's Idle Hands?
And that is Idle Hands. Okay, so, because we're stupid.
We've talked a lot about the movie throughout the outline. We are good.
Yeah, like, your thoughts in general, overarching about this movie.
This movie is just comfort food for me sometimes.
Comfort food. I love that description.
It is.
That's great.
I've seen it during fundamental adolescent years.
Okay.
And I loved it right away. But I also, yeah, I love Jessica Alba right away. I became a teenager as this movie. I became a stoner as this movie just was a thing. Like, mm-hmm. It just, well, I became a stoner, but, you know, smoked weed. And it just was always there for me, you know? It's a good.
It was there for you.
And it's a good, like, 420 and Halloween watch. It just hits that vibe. They shoot in Pasadena in the same neighborhood as Halloween. It's graphic. Sure. It's a good amount of homophobia in here.
There's, like, one, like, queer slur being mm-hmm. thrown out. I think I just caught the one, and then there's another one where it's like, well, don't be like gay about it.
Yeah, there's some,
like, yeah, there's an not appropriate, but there is an average level of 1990s/early 2000s homophobia in it.
Right, it's not as offensive as it could be.
Well, we're not. I mean, it's not like Bring It On, where it's like we're gonna say the F slur as many times as we can possibly manage,
and we're gonna fit it into this 3-minute scene.
Yeah.
It's definitely not that.
Uh-huh.
It's played more like the characters you can tell are from the era, and that's just kind of what they say.
Even it wasn't appropriate then, not appropriate now, but it mm-hmm. was kind of just what was expected.
Exactly, exactly. And but even so, like, the humor just overall, it's so dumb. Mm-hmm. But, like, it so knows it's dumb.
And here's the thing. This movie, technically, I feel like if I had watched this movie, like, 3 years ago, I would have hated it. Mm-hmm. Like, I really do. And I just feel like that goes to show, like...
What changed in the past 3 years, Alex, huh?
Do you want an itemized list or an alphabetized one?
I was just thinking, you know, you see a lot of horror movies.
A lot more horror movies. And then, I've just been a lot more free to explore my taste in film. Right? And this is, like you said, it's not trying to be anything more than just, like, what it is. It's silly. It's fun. It is super fun.
It's very fun.
Like, it is... I enjoyed this far more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was going to be, like, kind of stupid. I thought I was going to be like, okay, let's wrap it up. But again, getting stoned and laying back and watching this movie, very fun.
Yeah, a perfect stoner movie. Like, listen, mm-hmm. if you're listening to this today, you listen a little bit late, but you still have, like, an extra 90 minutes in your day, blaze up and watch it.
It's just very fun. It. It's like good. $3 on YouTube.
It's like nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's great. And that was another thing that had the thought I had about this. Whatever.
Oh, what did I do? I feel like I got takeout and I watched this movie too. I was like eating like something like particularly like, oh, I was eating Rallies.
Mmm. Oh, I keep seeing ads for Rallies.
Mm, it's pretty good. They have really good season fries.
They do. They have the best season fries. Oh my god.
And I was just like, ah, yes. This is it. But no, I really enjoyed this movie.
Actually, I now remember what I was going to say. Uh-huh. So, I think, based on what we talked about in the trivia of this movie.
Yes.
Clearly, a lot of they all had different intentions making the movie. Right. And they all gave it their all. And even though the finished product isn't like any particular one of their intentions, mm-hmm. I really think the editors saved the day on this one.
The editors of this movie, God bless you.
I think because everybody went 100, though, you can tell this movie has a lot of heart.
It has so much heart.
Right?
Jinx. But yes.
Like, that you can, in every frame, everybody's trying. It's great.
Yes. Steven Rifkin, you are this episode's MVP for editing this movie.
I agree. That's not an easy thing to assemble from all those competing influences.
He edited Pirates of the Caribbean and Avatar, James Cameron's Avatar.
Jesus. Oh, this guy's good.
So, like, he kind of knows a thing or two about a thing or two.
Oh my god, I bet this experience with all this competing footage and stuff taught him.
This was a learning experience.
This is the one where you learn the fundamentals right here.
This is a learning experience. Steven E. Rifkin, thank you so much for your service, good sir.
Jesus.
All right.
Great.
Let's wrap this up. Okay. Rate this movie out of 5 carburetor bongs.
I'm going to give it... For nostalgia's steak. For nostalgic steak. Oh, that was bad. Okay. I'm having a hard time rating this one, honestly. I would like to hear yours first.
Okay, so here's the thing. From a purely, like, critical perspective, like, I'm not going to rate it on that. Just mm-hmm. from, like, funness, mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Okay, I'm going 4.
Okay.
This is a 4-star movie for me.
From a critical perspective, it's like a 2.5.
Oh,
like,
no, it's bad. It's down there.
Like, it's not a great movie, but mm-hmm. it's no, like, Hereditary. It's, you know what I mean?
No.
Which you shouldn't have expected at all, ever.
So this is not going to be on any Oscar award
no.
list.
No.
But...
There's a reason it has a 15% on Rotten Tomatoes. Although I do think it should be like a little bit more. Like you can bump it up to like a 45.
But it has charm. Motherfucker.
I love, like, it has heart.
It has so much heart.
It has so much heart.
Like there's something about just there's a love crafted into this movie.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh man. All right.
You ready?
Yes.
Next week?
Well, yeah, let me close out this one first. Oh, yes. That was Idle Hands from 1999, directed by Rodman Flender. Next week. Would you like to talk about next week, Anthony? Because this is your boy.
It's April. That's 6 months past a certain sequel series that we have to cover. And I say have to because this is a particularly bad installment.
God.
But... we do have a Halloween Mega fan here that we've recently brought onto the show here and there for a couple episodes. Our boy Phil will be coming back on. And he's a fan of this era of Michael Myers, and I am not. So this will be interesting.
Is he?
I'm not sure about this one, though. We'll find out. Because remember, he likes 4 and 5, and we were giving him shit for it.
I totally forgot he likes 4 and 5.
Oh, yeah. He was all about that one. But
oh,
six
no.
is a... Six is a weird one.
So, oh, no.
But I guess we're spoiling a little bit, but we're covering a part.
Well, so. I mean, you guys can count, right?
Find out next week. Let's go.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you like what you heard, please consider giving us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribing wherever you're listening and writing us a review. It means the world to us and it helps other people find the podcast. And we love you guys for doing it. You guys are awesome. Happy 420 again.
Happy 420. Yay. Watch out, hands.
We never release episodes early. But it felt apt considering that we were one day off from this very important holiday.
Exactly. You know what? Why have to worry about posting the episode up on the day you get the vaccine? Why?
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So by the time this episode comes out, we'll be fully vaccinated. Woo!
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's it. And then if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod. And we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORROR. BLE People's Podcast. And then if you would like to find Anthony, you can find him on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler. And then you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop.
Yeah.
Woo. Until then, if your hand becomes possessed, just wait for a druidic priestess to come unpossess you.
And don't be afraid to clean your microwave.
Don't. Just clean your microwave. It's okay.
I gotta clean my microwave. Fuck.
Me too.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.